Okay, everybody there?
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
How many are there?
It's Bruce, Caleb, Mayor Pearl, and Yosef Yehuda.
Okay, we got four of them. Today is 7, what's it today, 12?
1 Tammuz.
I know, very good. 9 Tammuz. Oh, not 9 Tammuz. No,
I said 1 Tammuz.
No, it can't be 1 Tammuz. That was on Thursday. Oh, right, yeah, 1 Tammuz, right, correct. So it's July.
Except where you are, it's 2 Tammuz.
Yeah, well, no, we started, yeah, right, 2 Tammuz. True.
But it's still 1 Tammuz here.
Yeah, because it's Thursday night after Shkia, the second 1 Tammuz is over, we're at 2 Tammuz. So really it's July 7-4, let me write that down, 7-4-19. Yes, it's 2 Tammuz, correct. Okay, let's see, who's the first one?
Bruce.
Okay, Bruce, and then number 2?
Caleb. Mayor Pearl and Yosef
David.
Yehuda.
Number 3 is who?
Mayor Pearl.
Mayor Pearl. Number 4 is?
Yosef Yehuda.
Okay, we got 4. Thank you. So far. Okay, let's look at the...
Gil Kreisel.
Gil.
Kreisel. Okay, number 5. Gil Kreisel. All right, okay. And down in Savannah, what's the temperature? 100 degrees?
Oh, yeah. Very hot.
Yeah, we had 98.7 here in New York. Okay, now listen, let's go to the Haftorah of this week's Parsha. It's at the end of the Chumash. Every Chumash has Haftorahs. And it's in Shmuel Aleph. You have to have a set of Tanakh in front of you. Hey, is it, do you hear me clearly?
Or is it better when I talk on the handphone like this?
Better like that.
Oh, I see. I ordered that night when my handphone just broke. My headset broke, so I ordered another one online, another phone that has a headset jack on the side. Now I have to use this thing stuck in my ear, holding my shoulder. All right, if you have a Tanakh, you should have a whole Tanakh, 24 books, and you should have Mishnayos too. And these are like the basics for them, all 5 Chumashim. And so we're going to learn from the Haftorah, which is Shmuel, Samuel 1, book 1, chapter 11, Pasuk 14. That's the Haftorah we're reading. It talks about Korach's great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson, Shmuel HaNavi. Before there were kings in Yisrael, there was Navi, Shoftim. Shofet is a judge. He's not a king who can demand you to do something. They advise you to do it. So a Shofet is a judge, but he's an advisor, actually. So when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they lived there 440 years before there was ever a Beis HaMikdash or a king. There was 440 years under Moshe's influence, and they did almost no evil in those 440 years. There's a few cases of certain things. But then after they decided the Jews were getting so wealthy and so healthy and so protected, no one touched them, and they were so wealthy, they got a little bit lax in their keeping the Torah, so they started to get surrounded by Goyim. So they said to Shmuel HaNavi, the last Shofet, number 15.
This is Avram Puratarion. I didn't announce my name yet.
Oh, now you announced it. Now you're on. 6
yes.
Is AP, right?
I'm here like 5 minutes already.
But then if you didn't announce your name, you're not on.
It's okay. Sorry.
All right. If you don't announce, how do I know? I'm not a prophet. All right.
Okay.
Let me see. Mayor Pearl. Oh, yeah, you took care of your unverified. It's all cleaned up. It's 0. You're good. Who's this? Why is he? Oh, no, he doesn't have any. He doesn't. He's not on. Alex is not on yet. Mark Kaufman is not on yet. Barry Cohen's not on yet. Why? You have 1. You have 2 you have to take care of. June 16 and June 20.
Okay.
All right, do that. All right. Now, let me just tell you a little. We learned the Haftorah last week. It's good once in a while to learn the Haftorah. It's a commentary on the Chumash. So if you look at the Haftorah at the back of every Chumash on page, and this brown Saperstein Chumash is on page 442, Korach. It comes from Shmuel Aleph. First book, there's 2 books of Shmuel. Shmuel Aleph, chapter 11, Pasuk 14. And it says there that the great-great-grandson of Korach was a big tzaddik. Korach was a big Rasha. Korach was a very, very bright but very wicked man.
Jake Wyman.
Jake Wyman, okay. You're a very important man. He's making, bringing this program to the thousands of people in America. He's a promoter of, he has a site called Sheer Enjoyment. Sheer Enjoyment. You can go there. Sheerenjoyment.com. Anyhow, so we're doing Haftorah. So it says that Korach had his mind twisted a little bit because he was very arrogant, because he was very rich. Usually rich people have big mouths. Okay, who's this number eight?
Dina Rockle.
Dina Rockle, from still from Chicago?
Yes.
And you're still with your mother. Okay. Big mitzvah to take care of your mother, parents. Korach was a very wealthy man. Pharaoh paid him money to pick out Jews to do the work. And when the Jews didn't do the work, he got beaten. Same with Dothan and Aviram, his two Rishoyim friends. They all believed in God, but they just didn't like Moshe for some reason. And they took beatings from the Egyptian slave drivers that your guys are not doing enough work. So they're not total Rishoyim. They suffered for their brethren. They just didn't like Moshe. They had this problem with Moshe. And of course, they ended up dead, all three of them, because they're wicked. So now, 16 generations later, which is 400 years, because usually a person gets married at 25. So 100 years is four generations. So 16 generations is 400 years. Came this man, Shmuel Hanavi. He was the last of the 15 Shoftim. He was the only Navi of the 15 Shoftim. A Navi speaks to God, dialogue, back and forth. See, Hashem told Noah to build the table. The whole second parsha in the Torah is about Hashem telling Noah and telling him and telling him and telling him and telling him. But he's not a Navi because he never speaks back. David wrote 150 books to Hashem, but Hashem never answered David, so he's not a Navi. Moshe's a Navi. Back and forth conversation is called a dialogue. If Hashem talks to you, it's a monologue. If you talk to Hashem like David wrote 150 chapters in Tillim, that's a monologue. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were Navi and prophets. And Yechezkel and Yeshaya and all the Yirmiyahu, all these prophets. Because there was a dialogue going on. So, now, Moshe was the biggest Navi of all the Naviim. And finally came, they got into Eretz Yisrael. They spent 440 years there. Before they had a temple. Before they had a Melech. But they had Naviim. The Shmuel HaNavi was the last of the Shoftim. He happened to be a Navi. He happened to be the 16th generation from Korach, about 400 years. And he has a similar problem of Korach. Take a look at the Torah, at the end of the parsha. If you have a Navi, a Tanakh, go to Shmuel 1:11, Pasuk 14. The Yom Shmuel Elhom. If you learn a little before, the people said, we need a king. So he said, how come you didn't need a king last year, and 50 years ago, and 100 years ago? And 20 years ago, and 30 years ago, and 40 years ago, well, how come? When we came into this country for 40 years with no king, all of a sudden you need a king? Oh, you feel threatened a little bit? It means if you read the stuff before this, they were not so religious anymore. So, V'yom Shmuel El Ho'om. Shmuel said to the people, Lechu v'nelcho ha-Gilgal. Let's go up to the Gilgal, northern of Israel. Nechadisham ha-Meluchom. And let us renew the kingdom. Which means they had no kingdom before. Renew under Moshe in the Midbar. There was a kingdom. Moshe was like a king. Let us renew this kingdom, the Meluchim, which means I'm going to give you a king. By Yael, Pasuk number 15, second Pasuk in Haftorah. Yael Chokolom HaGilgol went up to the Gilgal, which is northern Israel, what we call the Golan, right? V'yam Lichusham as Sha'ul. They anointed Sha'ul HaMelech. Lefnei Hashem before God, the Gilgal in Gilgal. They brought a lot of sacrifices and shlomim. Some they ate, some they burnt up totally. If they had Hashem, they had a big party because they had a first king. And Shaul there was very happy. All the people with him made a big party. It didn't just last one day. Okay, who just came on?
It's Mayor again. I got the call drop.
Oh, Mayor again. Okay. So nobody. So he went up and made a new king. Now, if you look at Rashi.
That's not polite to say he's a nobody.
Who's a nobody?
You said a nobody. He is a somebody.
Who's that?
Mayor.
What do you mean nobody?
You said
I said nobody came on.
Yeah, Mayor said he came
on. No, he was on. Nobody came on new. Okay, let's go, Liz.
So you need to qualify and say new.
Yeah, that's what it means. He knows. A mayor understands me. Vatoy now. Hine Hamelech. Here you got a king. They put Shaul up, and you know Shaul was not even from the right tribe. No king can come from out of the tribe of Yehuda. He was from Binyamin. They asked for a king unnecessarily. They got the wrong kind of king. He came from Binyamin. You can't be a king if you come from Binyamin. Shaul was the son of Binyamin, way, hundreds of years later. You have to be from Yehuda. So, but they needed some king, and since they didn't protest, shows the people were really losing it. So, Pasuk 15. V'yelcho kol am ha-Gilgal. They went up to Gilgal. Yimuchu shom is-sha'ul. They met Shaul. V'nei Hashem be-Gilgal. V'yizuchu shom. They had a party. Now, next pasuk, which is beginning of chapter 12, pasuk Aleph. V'yomer Shmuel el kol Yisrael. Hinei shemati be-kol. I listened to your words. L'chol asher martoni. Whatever you told me, that you need a king. V'am lichalechem melech. And I gave you a king. V'atoy now. Hinei ha-melech mishalech v'nechem. He's walking in front of you. He's a real living king. I'm too old, which means I know why you didn't pick me. I've been your show fate for 50 years. Ah, you need a young fellow. And I am old. Vashafti, I am old and hoary. It means I'm getting hoary head, red, white hair. And my children are here. You can use them. You didn't need a king all these years. Why do you need a king now? Ooh, Korach said the same thing. Hey, Moshe, we don't need you. We all heard God's voice. And we all, and the Shekhinah is amongst us. Maybe for the next generation, but we don't need to, we're at Sinai. You're no bigger, different than anybody else. They were all prophets for those few hours when God spoke the Torah. So his great-great-great-great-great-grandson said the same thing. You'll see in a minute. And he was, and Shmuel was a tzaddik. And this guy, Carter, was a Russia. Take a look. Next pasuk. V'ani, yisalachti levdechem min orai. I was walking before you at your show fate from my youth until today. Here I am.
Hello?
That is connected.
Hello?
Hello?
That is connected.
Hello, I hear you. You hear me?
Now we do.
Yeah,
now
yeah
we do.
I hear you.
Yeah, now we do.
Maybe your phone. I didn't have a phone.
Yeah.
Okay, so listen, you can see him in a minute what Shaul's going to tell them. Hineni, behold, and onu be, answer me. Kineged Hashem, right in front of God. Veneged Mashiachu, Asher, did I ever borrow or take from you a bull? Ever? Or a donkey? Even borrowed it? Who did I ever hurt, insult, cheat? Why didn't you pick me as a king? I may not have accepted it. Why do you need another king? Whom did I oppress, or from whom has I had taken any ransom, and that I hide my eyes therewith, and I shall restore it to you? I did anything bad to you guys? Tell me. I'll give it back. Pasuk 4. Yomer lo shaklon. You did not rob us, cheat us, oppress us in no way, and you never took and borrowed anything from us. Pasuk 5. Yomer lehem aid I Hashem. God is a witness. The Lord is a witness against you. And his anointed is witness today. Shaul's your king. You can't find nothing against you. Can you find anything against me? They say, no, we're a witness. You never did anything. No, so why didn't you choose me? Not that he wouldn't have taken it, but why didn't you choose me? Why do you need a king? What's wrong with the way it was the last 400 years? Yom Shmuel Olam Hashem, Asher Osses Moshe Baron. Hashem who made Moshe and Aaron, and they took you out of Egypt, and now you stand and you think you need a king. Pasuk Zion, and now stand and I shall reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteousness into which he did to you and your forefathers. God is your king. Why do you need a physical king? Pasuk 8, Kashibor, when Jacob came to Egypt, Kashibor, Yaakov and Shlomo, Yizaku Avosim, and the forefathers cried out to the Lord, which means his children were slaves. They cried out to the Lord. El Hashem, Yishar Hashem is Moshe. He sent Moshe and Aaron, and he took you out of Mitzrayim. So was not that, isn't God enough? What do you need a physical king? Korach said the exact same thing. But Korach went to Gehenna, and this man's the biggest tzaddik in the world. Because, you see, Korach wanted to be Moshe, or maybe Aaron. But Shmuel didn't want to be anything. He wanted to stay as he was, a shofet, and a judge, an advisor. I don't want to be nobody's king. Pasuk 9, and they forgot the Lord, their God, which means they gave up the Yiddish king. Delivered them, and God delivered them to Sisera, the enemy agent, the king, commander of the army of Chatzor, in the hand of the Philistines, into the hand of the king of Moab, and they waged war with them, with you, I mean. And they cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned, we did a sin. We have forsaken the Lord and have served his Baalim, the gods, Baalim and Ashtaroth. Now save us from the hand of our ancestors. Oh, they're afraid of being attacked by the surrounding Gentile nations. And we shall serve you. And Hashem sent Yerubbabel. Yerubbabel, that's another code name for, what's his name? Gideon, he was a general. If you look in the English there, you'll see the English in this thing. He was a general that fought the battles with him. And Badon, the person came from Trevet Dun at Shimshon, who beat up the Philistines. That's Yiftach, that's another big general. And Shmuel, me. I saved you from your enemies by keeping you religious. Therefore, if you're religious, you don't have enemies from all around, and you're very secure. Pasuk 12. And when you saw Nachash, Melech Bnei Ammon, the Goyish king, coming upon you, all of a sudden you're afraid. And you said to me, no, but a king shall rule over us. We need a king. But Tomer Lee, you said to me, lo, not you, Ki Melech, a king, Yimelech Aleinu. Hashem Elokeichem, but God is your king. That's 400 years he was your king. What happened now? Didn't his great-great-grandfather said the same thing to Moshe? We don't need you. Hashem is our king. You don't got to be a boss over us. Except Moshe was forced into the job. And that part he left out. And Moshe didn't want it. He argued with Hashem for 6 days. He didn't want the job. I'm a shepherd. I can't speak. I'm not an orator. I'm not a glib with words to talk to the king of Egypt. Oh, so why isn't it not good enough the way it was? Pasuk number 13. And now, behold, the king who you have chosen, who you have requested, and behold, the Lord has appointed a king over you. Here he is, Saul. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and hearken to his voice, then you will not rebel against the commandments of Hashem. Both you and the king will reign over you, and everything you'll be everything be fine. But after the Lord, after you follow Hashem, that's fine. But if you not hearken to the voice of the Lord, and you will rebel against the commandments of Hashem, don't keep the Torah, the Lord's hand will be against you. He'll beat you up bad. Pasuk 16. And even now, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before you today. I'm going to make a miracle this second. You're going to see that God is watching you. Pasuk number 17. What's the miracle? Halo kitzach chitim hayom. Today is the wheat harvest. In Israel, after Pesach, when they start harvesting, no rain falls for 6 months, not a drop. Until Sukkot, when they harvest everything in, and then the rain falls, what we call winter, they call the rainy season. Then the stuff gets watered, and then by spring it sprouts out already. So now, when it never rains, it's going to start raining. Hello, behold, Pasuk 17, Katsir, the clotting, harvesting of the Chitim Hayom. I'm going to call out to God, and he'll give thunders and lightning this minute. He will send thunder and lightning, and you shall know to see your evil, what you did. Urasam, you big evil. You don't trust the God. You need a physical king. Asher Sisim, Beine Hashem, and eyes of God, Lishol Chamel, to ask for a king. Vikashmol al Hashem. So people saw this, called out to God. Vikashmol Hashem, Kolos, instantly thunder. Umata, rain. Beomahu, that was very bad in the summer. That means all the crops on the ground are ruined. Because if you don't take them in the dry place, they're going to start to ferment on the ground. You can't grind it up as flour anymore. It's starting to ferment. The Yerukal Ammo, they were very afraid. By Yira means they saw. Means they saw their evil, and they were afraid. Ooh, they're killing our product. And the Shmoon, and it rained. And right, all the people greatly feared the Lord, the Shmoon, and Shmuel, because in 1 second he calls, God answers him. So it says Shmuel was like Moshe and Aaron. He was equal to Moshe, but this is 400 years later. But he was so great. V'yomer kol ha'om el Shmuel. Oh, please pray to God. We did a big sin. Pasuk number 19. Pray for your servants to the Lord your God and let us not die. Because God may, they thought they're going to get killed. Hashem came, Al Namos, don't let us die. We are very sorry. Added all our sins evil. Oh. To ask for a king, we're so sorry. Yom Shmuel said, it's too late now. You got a king. Treat him with respect. And Shmuel said, fear not. You have done all this, even though you've done all this evil, but now you did tshuva. Al kira'u, don't be afraid. Atem, you. You did this bad. What's bad? You don't trust God. That's bad. Didn't need a king for 40 years. Why do you need him now? Ach al tasuru machashem. But don't ever slide off from behind Hashem. Don't ever not do the Torah. Vavavadatem and serve Hashem with all of your heart. No tricks and no games. Pasuk 21. Velo sasuru, don't turn away. Ki achre hatohu, till nonsense and don't turn aside that you should go to vain things that cannot profit or deliver. That means idols. So sasuru, don't go after nothing, worthless things. Shalom, you eat them. They won't help you. No way cannot help you. If they're dead idols. They're nothing. These are the distortions in the human mind. They're worthless. God will never forsake his nation. Because of his big name. His name means God, the Jews will live forever. For the Lord has sworn to make you a people for himself, against your will or with your will. If with your will, fine. Otherwise, he'll force you to do tshuva. Okay. And that's basically the Haftorah. So Korach said, I'm sure I'm right. Moshe's wrong, because he was a very wise man. And he saw the pasuk in Tehillim, even though it wasn't written yet. It says there, I told you the other night, Tzadik, there's a pasuk. If you look up in Tehillim, you'll see it. Tzadik katomor yifroch. A tzadik will blossom like a palm tree. The last letters of tzadik is kuf. Last letter, tomor, is resh. Yifroch, yes, that's Korach. He saw his name, that he will live forever. Nothing can happen to him. Moshe's wrong. He's right. Except he was a Russian. He went to Gehenna alive. And Moshe's right and he's wrong. Because he wanted to be the Melech. But first of all, God never chose him. And God knew why. Because he had an ego problem. And that's why he didn't choose him. And he chose Moshe because Moshe was fit and this man was unfit. But he talked himself into it. That he's going to have it. He's going to be a tzaddik. Or Shmuel Hanavi is going to come from him. Who is the tzaddik? Tzaddik, katomor, like a palm tree, yifroch, will blossom. The last letters, Sof Davis, it's Korach. Oh, he thought that's him. Really, it was his great-great-grandson, Shmuel Hanavi. He had it a little backwards. And a fool, well, not a fool, brilliant man, but wicked men can twist things around. How can you call yourself a tzaddik if you fight with God's agent, Moshe? Where's your common sense? I told you, great, brilliant men, the reason they do stupid things is because God took away common sense. But every blue-collar worker has common sense. These Rishoyim lose it. Like Pharaoh. He went into a split sea, the fool, and he got drowned. Where's your common sense? Not high-class intelligence that a college professor needs. Hey, where's your common sense? We call that seichel. Where's your seichel? You lose it. That's the punishment for wicked people, even though they're brilliant, because they do stupid things that shows they God punished them.
Rabbi.
Yeah, they're finished with the Haftorah. Let's go back to the Pasha. Okay, go ahead. What is the question?
I was going to say, also, I saw in one of your, you mentioned Bilam lost his common sense because he wanted to kill his bee.
Yeah.
And it was his only right.
Yeah. We saw him lose their common sense. Yeah. You'll notice that nowadays, too. When you're wicked and evil and depraved and pro everything filthy and immoral, you start losing your common sense. You start arguing stupid things that makes it's not common sense. We're like basic, where's your logic? That's the punishment of evil people. They lose their common sense, their logic. If you argue with your friend, okay, give me a logical argument. But if you just say stupid things, I mean, you're not even, we know what even takes you seriously. Okay, let's go back to the Parsha, Korach. All right, at the end of the Parsha, because we never usually never get to the end, but we're going to get to the end here. At the end of the Parsha of Korach, it ends with, here, Korach ends right here. Okay, it ends here. It's all about giving the Kohen can't own any real estate because he comes from Levi. They work in the base of Mikdash. The Levi helps the Kohen. They're also from the same tribe. They don't own real estate. So you got to support them. The Kohen gets truma, 2% of your animals and of your grains, the seven species, the two grains and the five fruits. And the Levi gets 10%, meiser, mei, esser, one of 10. And the Kohen gets truma, 2%. If you knew Hebrew, you would understand truma means to elevate yourself. When you give tzedakah, you're not giving away. You're elevating yourself by giving away your money to someone else who needs it. That's how you elevate, by giving away money. By keeping money, you lower yourself. By giving away the money that you worked for and you give it to somebody else that can't work or is not allowed to own real estate like a Levi or a Kohen, then you elevate yourself. Truma, tzedakah elevates you. That money that you gave away in your lifetime can never be lost. You may lose your millions of dollars in fortune, but the money you gave away is for yours forever, that you gave for tzedakah. The only money you own is the money you gave away for tzedakah. That's your money earmarked forever. The money you have, you may lose it. The money you gave away is the only money you own. That'll help you in the next world because that's the tzedakah you gave. So now you take the word truma. If you knew a little Hebrew, you would see truma is made up. It means 2%, but it really means elevation. Truma. So if you know Hebrew, it sounds like tray, two, mo from 100. 2 over 100 is 1 over 50. That's 2% exactly. So a Kohen gets 2% and a Levi gets 10%. Why does a Levi get more? Because the truma, the Kohen gets 24 gifts. Truma is one of them. Challah is another one of them. Parts of every carbon is one of them. He gets all kind of gifts that you give to a Kohen, and he gets 2%, but a lot of other privileges a Kohen has. A Levi gets 10% because he doesn't have the 24 gifts of a Kohen. When you make a pidyon haben for 5 shekolim, now it's about $130, the Kohen gets it. And he gets challah. When your wives bake challahs a Friday afternoon or Thursday if you're smart, or even smarter Wednesday, you take 5 pounds minimum. You can take less, but you can't make a bracha. 5 pounds, you make a bracha. Bracha to Hashem and the Kenim El Chol, Mashiach Kishon and Sofazon. The Hafish challah and the Esau to separate a little challah from this batter. While it's kneaded up and it rose for 2-3 hours, before you put it in the oven, you make it into a challah shape, you know, and put it in the oven, you have to make a bracha. Sherek and Shomet Svazon, the hafrosh to separate challah, a little tiny piece, from the dough, and you put it on top of the stove, and you burn it till it's charcoal, then you throw it away. The time of the Beis HaMikdash, you gave that challah to the Kohen. Now, there were thousands of people that gave to, but there were thousands of Kohanim too. And you can give it to any Kohen you want. You give it to the one that you like. And if he has too much challah and too much truma and too much this and too much that, he only has 2 or 3 or 4 kids, he can give it away to his friends. But he has to own it first. He can give it away to yeshiva, to a school, to a hospital, to anything. But you have to give 2% of your cattle, sheep, goats, and cows, sheep and goats, not chickens, cows, sheep and goats, and all your the seven species, the two grains and the five fruits. Got to give 2% to the Kohen and 10% to the Levi, because the Levi gets one thing only and the Kohen gets 24 things besides truma. I mean, no, including truma and challah and all kinds of different things. But at a pidyon haben, he gets 5 shekolim. It means have to be value of 5 silver dollars. Every silver's worth, I don't know, $13 an ounce, but into a coin is $26 an ounce because you have to make it into something. 5 of them is about $130. So you give them 5 silver dollars, which is about $130, and the coin keeps it. Then it gives you the child. Now, you're going to, suppose you say, I can't afford the $5 for the first male-born son. You keep the child. You think a father can't afford his own son? You're going to let the coin keep it? He'll get the five silver dollars. Somebody will lend it to him. Why is that like that, that the Kohen owns your child? He can take it away from you at 31 days. How come? Firstborn child. Not your firstborn. The wife's firstborn child. Suppose she was married before and had a firstborn child. Then it's not her firstborn. Maybe your firstborn, but you didn't give birth to it. It's only if your wife has the firstborn child, then the Kohen owns it. How come?
Because it says that the firstborn belongs to
right. Hashem. Right, because the Egyptians thought they were the firstborn nation in the world. God said, no. You're going to be beaten up. And these hordes of slaves, they're my firstborn. Compared to Egyptians, every Jew is a Bechor. In the Jewish people, the firstborn of a Jew is called a Bechor. But Bechor means you're select special. American Indians, they couldn't become an Indian chief unless you're firstborn. Goyim have this idea of it's ancient ages, way back. It's a concept of firstborn. Anyhow,
but they lost that obligation once they with the Egel Zahav.
Yeah, they lost it with the Egel because every firstborn of all the Trud, the Shvatim, all the Trud, got involved in the Egel, so they're finished. He says, okay, you can't do it no more. Now I'm going to pick the tribe of Levi. And the miraculous thing is that Levi had exactly 22,000 people in the tribe, and the firstborn Jews, which were 1,000 times more than the Levi, because the Levi only had 22,000 in them, and Jews were 600,000, excluding them. So it's interesting that amongst all the Jews, there were 24,000 firstborn boys. That means 98% of everybody had a girl first. Because if you divide 603,550 into 22,000, comes out that 0.4%. That's about 4% out of every 100 kids were a boy first. They had mostly girls first. Hashem had that prayer prepared 100 years before they got out of Egypt. They knew that the Bechorim would mess up, and God would have to get rid of them and choose the Levi. And the whole tribe of Levi is 22,000. Interesting that the Jewish people, besides Shevi Levi, also had only 22,000 firstborn. That means out of 603,550 into 22,000, that's 4%. 96% had girls first. See how that planned out 100 years before you got out of Egypt? God has the whole world planned. You don't know it's going to turn out that way, but after it turns out that way, you find out why it turned out that way, because God had it planned, because he sees the future and you don't. At 2020, hindsight is always 2020. Foresight, you don't know what's going to be tomorrow, but he does. So he had all the women in Egypt give birth. She shot 6 per litter. The women had three births. She had 18 kids. And the guy can have more than one wife. 2 wives, let's say, would be 36 kids in 5 years or 6 years. So fire was getting crazy. Look at wherever you looked, there's Jews, he said. Anyhow, so that takes care of that, what you brought up. So now we talk about this section right here. When a woman today makes challah, she got to take a little piece off.
Mrs.
Doesn't
N.
have to be 2%. Who is this? Mrs. N?
Mrs. N.
Okay, you're on. You're number 9. Mrs. N, I want to tell you something. Today is the 4th of July. You know that? Rabbi Victor Miller said years ago, a from Jew should kiss the flag of America. He should kiss the ground of America, because in the only country in the world that was formed without a king was the United States in 1776. Never did they have a decree against Jews, the only country in the world. We're not talking about little nothing countries. Only one of these major 8 or 10, 12 big countries in the world that had no decrees against and no official religion. It's the most blessed country in the world. With all its faults, it's the most blessed country in the world. And that now, finally, Hashem gave us this man who loves Israel. And he tries to be a normal, middle of the road, and they think he's nothing. The perverts, those who are pro-killing little children, or against a decent man, of course, because they're perverts, mentally, sometimes physically. I said to a Jew, from Jew, why are you a Democrat? You know anything about politics? You know they're not against abortion, you know that? A guy is asked to do it. Really? I said, where you been the last 40 years? I said, you can't, these decent guys can't be a Democrat. Not now, not the Democrats we have today. They're sick. Well, they also have no common sense because they were so wicked and evil. All right, and they talk so smooth and so beautifully educated, and the naive people believe them. But to see that woman said there that she visited the detention camps down there, and women have to drink out of toilets. She heard that on the news. That every American knows that in Europe, a bathroom is called a toilet. On the door, it says toilet. It doesn't mean toilet bowl. It means the bathroom is called a toilet. They drink out of a sink in the toilet, not out of the tank. She knows that. She's from Mexico or wherever. She's just playing with the naive people who believe her. The women are told to drink out of the toilet. Never such a thing ever happened. But she fools, and a lot of dumb people believe this because they're not smart. A toilet in Europe is called a bathroom. And there's fresh water coming out of the sink in the bathroom. All right, anyhow, so here, so that takes care of this. Let's go. He started this section that leads us to the end. Pasuk on page 221, if you have our school. That means Yud 18, Pasuk 26. Yadavin Shem Moshe Lehem, God spoke to Moshe. Bel Levim, to the prophets. To Daber, speak to them. V'marat take, tell the Levim. So when you take from the Jewish people, as a master, the tenth, one tenth of their animals or those seven species, that I gave to them, we eat them, and when you take it from them, from your inheritance, that's what you deserve, because Levi doesn't have real estate, you shall set aside from it. Trumas Hashem, a truma to God. The Levi that gives a truma? This is the only, when I give truma to a Kohen, it's 2%. When you give something to a Levi that you did not yet give to the Kohen, it's 2%. You have to give it to the Kohen first, 2%, then the Levi. Let's say you ignored the Kohen, and you gave it to the Levi, his 10%. He'll say to you, did you give the truma before you gave me? Did you give him 2%? No. Well, then I can't use the 10%. I have to take 10% of what you got, of the 10% that you got, and he got many mices, 10% of the whole thing, and give it to the Kohen. The Levi has to give it to the Kohen. This is the only place where Truma is 10%, not 2%. Remember I told you Trey Mayor 2 from 100 is 1 out of 50, which is 2%? But if for some man who didn't give the Kohen his 2%, and he gave the Levi the 10%, the Levi has to give it to the Kohen Truma Min HaMaiser, 10% of all the stuff that he gets. It's called Maiser Min HaMaiser, the tenth of the tenth. See what it says? Maiser Min HaMaiser, the tenth of the tenth. V'nech Shav Lechem, and you consider it like you gave it to the Kohen, but you didn't. You should have. So the Kohen has to take from his. You're causing the Levi a loss, because he has to give not 2% of his, but 10% of his. And he got a lot that time. Some people don't give to the Kohen. Not everybody cheats the Kohen. He has to give it 10% of everything he has to the Kohen. It's the only time that the Truma, which is 2%, is 10%. Kedogen, whether it's grain, Menagoren from the vineyard, granary, but Kameleo, Menayogov, or liquid from the vat. Let's say the grapes and we're all smashed down into grape juice. You have to take 10% of the grapes, or the olive oil, or whatever other juice it was, came to Rimum. This is how you do it. Gamatem, you also, Trumas Hashem, Trumas to God, Bekol Masrechem, all your tents, Shetikhu, makes Benezer, that you take from the Jews, Satim Yemenu, El Trumas Hashem, give the Trumas Hashem, La'aron HaKohen, which means if the Jew didn't do his job, the Levi has to making a loss to the Levi, because he got to give away 10% of his total goods. So for whatever, you forgot to give the coin, you don't like the coin, whatever it is, you're causing a Levi a damage. Okay. Let's see, a little further. So the puzzle ends right there. That's the end of the thing. That's the little bit about what you give to the coin and the Levi. What else we have to know? You know what? If you go on to Torah anytime right now, you'll see my shiur on Korach, but you'll always see under my bio, click here. So I always put some questions, nothing to do with the parsha, on. This last, that just started a few days ago, I have dinim about Havdalah. How do you make Havdalah Motzi Shabbat? So you think you take a cup, and you just hold the wine and you say Havdalah and hold the candle and the psalm and you smell it. And you think that's the way you do it, right? So if you go there, you'll see some interesting things about Havdalah. And after we finish Havdalah, after a few weeks, I'll put on another little thing until we get to the next holiday or fast day, which is 17th of Tammuz, coming up in 15 or 16 days. But I put on a little bit of questions on Havdalah. If you have my book, it's on page 6. For instance, can you make Havdalah in the middle of the week? Yes. How? Look at my book. What do you use if it's in the middle of the week? The wine and the spices and the candle? Maybe less. Next question. Which of the four brachas is the only one you have to make? Havdalah has four brachas. If you don't make Havdalah, by the way, you know, if you don't make Havdalah, you can't work that week. You can't eat that week, the whole week. If you don't daven Maariv at the end of Shabbos and say in the Shemoneh Esrei Havdalah, the four words, then you can't drive a car until you do that. And you can't eat any food that week unless you make Havdalah on the cup of wine. So if you don't stop Shabbos, it continues. Can you make Havdalah without making a bracha? Sure, you can. You got to look at my book. Is there anything wrong in using other drink besides wine, like soda? If you do not make Havdalah, can you eat or drive your car? Next question. If you're sick, let's say you're sick and you're unconscious till Tuesday night. Can you still make Havdalah Tuesday night before sunset?
Yes.
What's more important, Kiddush Friday night or Havdalah Motzei Shabbos? Because you only have a cup of wine for one of them. Which one would you use? Number 8. What is the right time for Havdalah? Right after Shabbos, hour after Shabbos, 3 hours after Shabbos, midnight? 9. Must the besamim, the spices used in Havdalah, have two or more types of spices? I'm going to answer these questions. Now we get to 10. Does the wick of the Havdalah candle have to be 3? Wick, 6, 9? Answer number 1. Can you make Havdalah in the middle of the week? Yes, up to Tuesday. Because Sunday, Monday, Tuesday belongs to the last Shabbos. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday belongs to the future Shabbos. So if you got, for some reason, you were sick, unconscious, and you came out, you woke up on Tuesday night before sunset. If you want to eat, you have to make Havdalah. If you woke up on after sunset on Tuesday night, which means Wednesday, you don't have to make Havdalah. But if you woke up before sunset Tuesday night, you're obligated to make Havdalah. Otherwise, you can't eat. Yes, up to Tuesday evening before Shkia sunset. The day still attached to the last Shabbos. And Havdalah can be made. However, after Shkia, after sunset, it is 3 days before the coming Shabbos, and no Havdalah can be done anymore. Finished. It's over. You missed it. Next question. What do you use when making Havdalah during the week? Only wine is used. No besamim and no candle, nothing. You just say, Bar Piagofen, and the last book, Hamavdil Ben Kodesh Lechol. You got to make that. You have to separate between the Shabbos and the week. Number 2. Which of the four prayers must you make if you, let's say, you woke up on Tuesday night? You only say Boru Piagofen and Hamavdil, which are, you have to, it's a mitzvah to do that. The other two, on the Besamim and the light, this is a different kind of a mitzvah. They're not an obligatory mitzvah. This is a praising mitzvah. You praise God that the week is coming and you feel depressed if you're a real Jew. Because there's no more holiness, and you, the besamim, you inhale it. It makes you, raises your spirit, takes away your depression. Now, a person who's not a holy Jew, he can't wait till Shabbos is over and put on his jeans and you know, act like the weekday, because he doesn't know what Shabbos is all about. He's glad this burden has left him, but if he's a real Jew, he's saddened. So he takes a little besamim to lift his spirits. You know, there's things called aromatherapy nowadays. Smelling certain things can raise your spirits if you're depressed. And the light. The light you can't make after Tuesday night, because when Shabbos was over, remember, Adam was made on a Friday. And then Shabbos, he saw sunset. He said, uh-oh, I did the sin and the Gan Eden eating that thing. God's destroying the world. All my fault. Then he noticed in the morning the sun rises again. He says, oh, this must be the way world works. And then Motzei Shabbos, Hashem told him, listen, start. He taught him the first rule of technology, how to create fire. Two rocks together make a spark, and you put some tinder underneath it, or two pieces of wood. Also can get hot and make a spark. That's how the Boy Scouts learned how to make a fire. So he taught Adam the idea of creating fire, which is the greatest. I mean, if you never saw it before, you figure only lightning makes fire. How? That's why we praise technology. God gave the human brain so much technology you can even walk on the moon or make something in your brain or a pacemaker in your chest or a computer or a phone that I can talk to people thousands of miles away. So God taught Moshe, Adam, on Moshe's job, the first law of technology, how to make light, turn day, night into day. Interesting. So we thank God for that ability and how to recreate fire. So, but if it's not, if it's after Tuesday night, it's already part of the next Shabbos, so it's nothing to do with the last Shabbos. All right. Can you make Avdol without making a bracha? Number three. Sure. If let's say you wanted, let's say the place you dive in, they dive in very late, not 18 minutes after sunset, but 42 minutes, 72 minutes, and you have Shabbos a little bit earlier, but they dive in later, but you have to dive matter. So you say five words without a bracha. Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh, blessed is he who separated between holy and weekday. Then you come, you jump in your car and you drive to the shul because your Shabbos is over. But you can't eat anything until you make Havdalah with the cup. So if you want to do a melacha, like driving to Ma'ariv, you say without a bracha. Just say Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh Kol, blessed is he who separated between day and Kodesh and whole Kol. If you want to eat, you got to you have to say the whole thing with a Kiddush cup. So there's two types of Havdalah. One is for doing labor, work. One is for eating. Just and the first one doesn't need a bracha. But if you say in Havdalah, it has a bracha in it, that's both of them together. Okay. Number four. Is there anything wrong using plain for Havdalah, like whiskey, soda, highball? Four. Yes. Since you should use wine, lechat chila, if you can afford it, and grape juice is called wine. But if you do not have wine, then chamar medina, any social drink, bidi evet, if you have no other recourse, is good. Not coffee, because that you drink when you're thirsty, and tea or soda. That a social drink is like a highball, a whiskey, when you get together with friends. Not a, that's, water is not a, it's not a, you can't make Havdalah on water. Or a soda, which you drink when you're thirsty, or you have every morning coffee and tea. A social drink you drink with people to socialize. Something chashuv, valuable. So you can make it on something, a highball or whiskey, if you have nothing else. Wine is a deal, but let's say you don't. Okay. The Gemara adds, the one who makes Havdalah on wine will wear to have sons who are Torah scholars, fitting to instruct other people. Why? Because wine, if you drink too much, it blurs your mind a little bit, takes away the ultimate sharpness. So if you drink wine, a little bit is very good for the brain. A lot will make you dull. If you want children who are Torah scholars, who can separate one thing from the other, which looks the same, make Havdalah on wine. You'll be guaranteed to have children who will also be able to separate. Like you're separating from Shabbos to weekday, you'll be able to separate very fine decisions, very difficult questions in Torah. Okay, next question. Number five. If you do not make Havdalah, can you eat or drive your car? If you say Havdalah in Shemona Esra, which you have every Moshe Shabbos, right after the third bracha, it says, Atachon Anton, you gave man brains. And there it says about Shabbos. Or just say what we told you. Baruch Hamad Ben Kodesh Chol, you can do melacha. But Havdalah on the coast permits you to drink and eat. Number six. If you are sick till Tuesday night, can you still make Havdalah? And if not, what is halacha? Look at answer one. We did that. Seven. What is more important, Kiddush or Havdalah? Let's say I only have one cup. What do you do? You only own one cup full of wine. What do you do? What do you do? Let's say you only have one. What do you do? Well, you know, Friday night you can make Kiddush on Motzi. You don't say Baruch Yagov, and you say Motzi Lechem and Oretz, and you say the whole Kiddush. Because you can do it on bread. Motzi Shabbat, you don't have any bread of Havdalah. You got to use the cup. That's why you keep it for Motzi Shabbat. Now, another answer is, both are Duraisa. Kiddush is the Torah law, and Havdalah at the end is the Torah law, according to the Rambam. However, Yesh Omer, some say that Havdalah is not min haTorah, it's only Rabbonim, because you don't have a meal, no bread. Because a Kiddush, at Kiddush on Shabbos, you must stop working. But on Motzi Shabbos, you do not have to stop from resting. You can keep going till midnight. Then Shabbos is over automatically. But on Friday afternoon, when you make Kiddush, even if an hour or two before sunset, if you decide to accept the Shabbos earlier, you cannot do any melacha after that moment when you said, you know, l'chododi, when you accepted the Shabbos. But Motzi Shabbos, there's no law that you must do a melacha. You can keep it for 2, 3, 4 hours later until midnight. So more important is really Shabbos, because there's no, you don't have to do a melacha after Shabbos is over, but you must stop working when Shabbos begins. So according to Rambam, it's a deraisa at the end, but not others, because there's no din, you have to do a melacha. So therefore, maybe you should use it Friday night, the wine, and then most of Shabbos, you have to use some other chamar medina, a drink that is socially accepted, like whiskey or a highball or something like that. All right, that's number six. Seven. Oh, we said that. Eight.
Yeah, but Rabbi?
Yeah.
If you use something other than wine for Havdalah, what bracha do you make?
Well, you make shahakol.
Oh, shahakol.
Whiskey,
okay,
or eyeball. But you made Havdalah. Havdalah means you separated between Shabbos and weekday. All right, okay. Number eight. What is the right time for Havdalah? Well, some people wait 42 minutes after sunset, 72 minutes, 90 minutes after sunset, shkia we call it. According to the minig, whatever your minig is, the time is called Tseis HaKochavim, the time the stars appear. Could be 42 minutes, the brightest stars, 72 minutes, the smallest stars, 90 minutes, even the smallest star. So we're not obligated to go to the extreme. We can do 42 minutes, which is the small stars. 72 is average stars. I don't have to look for the little tiniest stars, 90 minutes. So most people keep it 72 minutes, and some people keep it 42 minutes. And Israel, by the way, between sunset and the stars, it's like 15, 20 minutes. In New York, it's an hour and a half, because they have a different, they're 31 degrees above the horizon. We're 41 degrees. And if you go to the more close, the lower you get to the equator, the time between sunset and the stars is come shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. In Israel, between sunset and the summertime, like now, probably 15 minutes, 18 minutes, we have to wait an hour and a half. Sunset 8:30, it's still dark at 9 or 9:15, maybe an hour. Depends where you are on the horizon. All right. Number nine. Must the besamim, the spices used in the Havdalah, have two or more types of spices? Yes, because it says bore mine. That means types. It doesn't say min, one min. You have to have two different spices in it. I have a thing that I have like eight spices mixed into one thing. All stuff, cinnamon and cloves and persimmon and garlic, all kinds of stuff. But you have to have at least two, because it says bore, a mixture, mine of types. Let's say you only have nothing, one. Let's say all you can use is a fresh ground open bottle of instant coffee. Also smells good. If you have no choice, you still say the plural form. You can't change that, but I mean something. And you smell, I don't know, garlic or cinnamon or coffee beans or something. Has to be something that smells pleasant. Okay.
Perfume.
That's number nine. And then the last one is 10. Does the wick of the Havdalah candle have to be 3, 6, or 9 wicks, all twisted together? No, all you need is two, because it says Borei Ma'orei. Doesn't say or, one light. Ma'orei, lights. We have two wicks, the two wicks, you know, the flames jump between each and other. You see the sparkle, the sparkling. So you can't have one wick. One wick is a lair. A Havdalah is a torch. You got to have at least two wicks. You can have 6 or 8 or 10, but you have to have two minimum, because you say Bore Ma'orei, the lights, plural, not or, like one candle. Hanukkah lights, you're not allowed to have more than one wick per candle. Havdalah candle, you must have at least two. You can have 8 or 10. We don't care. But it's because it says Borei Ma'orei, the pure laurel, and Besomim. Borei Mine, different types of Besomim. But if you have none, you can use one. If you have, but Havdalah candle, no. If you don't have a Havdalah candle, you use two candles, stick the wicks together at that moment when you put your hand up against it, and that's called two wicks, too. Okay. So that's it, number 10. All right, we're finished with that, but I have about altogether 16 questions, and every week or two or three I change it till we get to the next holiday. But this was Havdalah last week. It was about Bichas Hamazon, who has the bench. And the week before that, it was Bris Mila, the different customs of circumcision. I have like 12 or 14 different varied subjects in my Sefer beside the 17 holidays. This is one section. After this, we're going to have, I don't know, whatever. Maybe we'll be at Asar Batavis already in a few weeks. Then we'll talk about the fast day of Asar Batavis, starting the 3 weeks. Okay, any questions? We're learning short tonight, 5 after 11. Any questions about Havdalah?
I gotta try to remember it.
You've covered a lot of material tonight.
Oh yeah, plenty. Look at my Sefer. It's all written in there. You can go through it slowly. Look up in the Code of Jewish Law, the Shulchan Aruch, the Kitzer. You'll see all the rules that I made very short and concise.
The month of Tammuz.
Yeah.
It's named after this false prophet.
Yeah.
And it's like the only month that's named after
a false prophet. Did you look at my Sefer?
Yeah.
Okay.
It says that Tzaddikim in the fourth month of Tammuz was known as the cult of Adonis.
Right. If you look that up, the Greeks had stuff like this too, but they took it from us. Listen, there's.
Good night, everybody.
What's that?
Good night.
Good night. I just want to tell you, Tammuz was a Jewish prophet. That was a false, phony prophet, and he was executed by the Beis Din. So the people who were naive believed in him. After he was dead, they made an idol that looks just like him, and people used to worship it. So why do we still have the name of an idol? We're Jews. Why do we make a month called Tammuz? Because a great Torah scholar said recently, the last 100 years, that no Jew should forget he's in Golus. Even if you have a state of Israel, you see there's no peace over there from day one till today. There will be no peace until Mashiach comes, which means makes it into a Torah state, which is secular Jews do not want. They want Israel without Torah, without mitzvahs, without Shabbos. They want to get rid of the Haredim, the so-called naive, and it means you and me, naive Jews who are backward. So they figure they want to be another democratic state like England, Canada, U.S., India has democracy, yeah. And after 2,000 years of being slaughtered more than any other nation, you want to be like every other nation, really? I'm no different. So you have a secular mindset. You don't get it. So Mashiach will come and either force it upon the world, or the knowing people will be very happy. The others will force it. They'll love it eventually, but they have to be re-educated. And that hurts, to get re-educated when you're convinced you're right. When you lived your whole life the other way, it's hard, but eventually it'll be shalom in the whole world. No more killing, no more immorality, no more filthy stuff is tolerated. Everything will be healthy and normal, and the way Hashem planned to make the world. Okay, mm-hmm. Anyhow, any more?
Isn't it also, what about the days of the week they're named after?
Oh, very good. So in the Torah, you call it Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni. There's no names. Later on, centuries later, the Germans called it this, the Americans called it that. In the Torah, there's no such word, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi. And in Germany, it was Sonntag, Montag, Dienstag. In Yiddish and Spanish, it has its own names. In Hebrew, there's no name. This Yom Rishon. And Chodesh Rishon, the first month. Right, centuries later, they gave it Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul. That's after they came out of Babylonia. But in the Torah, there's no names for months, or not for months either. First month, second month, third month, fourth month, fifth month, and no days of the week. Why? That's a good question.
We
a good question.
It, we all still use the days of the week that are named after false gods. I thought that was a false
I know. Yeah, right, the names of God. Sunday means they worship the sun. Monday, they worship the moon. Tuesday, I don't know. Wednesday, Wudan was one of their gods. Wednesday, Thursday, Turo or something like that. Friday.
But aren't we forbidden to mention those names?
No, you can say it because no one believes in them anymore. You can do it. Zeus used to be a god. We can say the word Zeus, Z-E-U-S. But J-C we can't say because some people believe in him still. But Zeus was a god. We can say it. Muhammad was never a god. He was a prophet. A wicked man, but he was a prophet, never a god. The Muslim believes in one god. The Muslim believe in one god total. You know that. But they got the wrong god because their god doesn't, our god, if that's the same god, Allah, Elohim, our god never said to kill women and children on a bus. Soldiers you can kill. Innocent people, you're not allowed to kill any innocent people. Only the people who are fighting you, you're allowed to have to kill. So they have the wrong god. And if they really love God, why would you hate his representatives? So they have a wrong kind of distortion of God. Anyhow, so listen, everybody, have a good night. And
aren't we also supposed to,
good
supposed
Shabbos,
to have
Rabbi.
A...
What the, you asked a question.
Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos.
At the end of Shabbos,
Shabbos
aren't
everybody.
We to,
yeah.
Shabbos, aren't we supposed to light candles and have a meal at the end of
yeah,
Shabbos?
Yeah, right. You're supposed to have a Malava Malka, correct. 100% right. So in the winter, when Shabbos is over 5:30, and you can have a meal 8:30, 9:30, fine. But now when it's over 10:30, come home from shul, who knows, 10 o'clock. And so you know what I do? You have to have a Malava Malka if you want to be raised at resurrection. When you want to come up physically, that the Malava Malka gives you enough nutrient that your body will be resurrected. Otherwise, you don't get Tchias Amesim. How do you do that Malava Malka when you escort the queen of Shabbos out? My father had the following meaning. At Havdalah, you light a candle besides the Havdalah candle, one candle, and that stays on for 3-4 hours till it burns out, which means you don't want to see the Shabbos go, really, even though it's officially over. And then after the wine, I tell my wife to give me a piece of cake, and I eat the piece of cake. That's the Su'udah for the Malava Malka, and Havdalah became the Kiddush of the Malava Malka, so I ate the Su'udah. Because when Shabbos is over 10 o'clock, you're not really interested in me eating anything. 2 hours later, you're in bed already. So I had to be yotze that Suda Malava Malka, which is a very big thing amongst Hasidim because they're into the Kabbalistic thing. I eat and say, before I make after the wine, I'll geffen or I'll pia geffen, I eat a piece of mizonos, which is considered a meal also. And I say, I'll geffen or pia geffen, I'll michlov al kalkola. And then the Havdalah became the Kiddush to the Malava Malka and I'm Yotzim. See how you do it? It's a very clever way.
But is that obligatory? Is it?
Yeah, you have to. People don't know it. Most people don't know much either about anything. They just know the basics. But Malava Malka, you should do it. It's no sin if you don't. But it's a big segula. It'll help you tremendously.
So why isn't there a bracha on when you light the candles?
No, it's just a minute. You don't make bracha on a minute. It's a nice minhug. We have thousands of minhug going to the.
I heard it was in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to light candles at the end of Havdalah.
Yeah, but no bracha.
Oh, no bracha. Okay.
Now, like, for instance, going to Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah, you don't make a bracha. It's an ancient minig. Or you hit the Aravos on the ground on Sukkot. So no, it's a minig. You don't make a bracha.
But it's a minig or it's
no, it's not a din. It's a minig. Tashlich is a minig. We have hundreds of minhagim. Hitting the Aravos on the ground on Shanah Rabba is a minig. Malava Malka is a, they say it's not a... Some say it's not a custom, it's a minhag, which means you want to be sure you get up at Tchias Amesim, better eat Malava Malka. And you don't have to wash, really, if you're really, because when you're full and you make a motzi and you don't want the food, really, it's called achila gas, or eating in a stuffed stomach. You can't make a broch if you're not really hungry. So what I do is eat a little piece, especially in the winter, summer, I eat a little piece of cake. That's a mouthful, a kazayas. And then I say for the wine and for the cake, I say I'll geffen, I'll pia geffen, I'll michel, I'll kakola. And that's my Malava Malka done. You see?
I thought it was, since it was in the Shulchan Aruch, it was obligatory.
It's a minig. It doesn't say, it's not a have to, it's not a din. It's not a sin if you don't do it.
Okay.
You see? We have a lot of minhagim. Putting whatever, covering up the challah Friday night on the table. That's a minute. nice minhag. All Jews do it who know what they're doing. You don't make a bracha on minhag. You make a bracha on the law, on the din, what you have to do.
Okay, Rabbi, good night. Good night.
Good night to you, Avram. Okay. Anybody with me still?
Yeah. Yes, of course.
Hey, Jake, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, you're a loyal listener.
Yes, still
right.
Here.
And Dina Rocker, you're there, Mrs. N. I want to wish you all a wonderful night.
Have a good Shabbat.
And a good Shabbos, correct.
Good night, good Shabbos.
Thank you, good Shabbos.